So Thermomix, apparently there's a version 2 now. Is that true? Yeah, you've heard the good news, haven't you? There's now a version 2 Thermomix. They're too expensive. Come on, Gary. Oh, $2,000, man. Just sell off some of Jenny's sewing equipment and you'll have heaps of money. Isn't it interesting how something good comes along like a Thermomix, it's wonderful, but then the next generation comes out and it, then we're like, oh, do we upgrade, do we not? It's the picture of what was happening with John the Baptist. So thinking about our gospel reading today, early in the Gospel of John, we have John the Baptist out preaching. Before our reading, we have Pharisees coming out to check out who John is. Are you the Messiah? They're asking, and he's saying, no, I'm pointing the way to the Messiah. I'm preparing the way. And then we have our reading where John's out there. He's got some disciples. That interests me, that John's got disciples. So he's obviously been teaching and preaching out in the wilderness for some time. He's obviously been one of those sensations that people have talked about. You know those conversations? Have you heard about that weird guy, John? He's out in the wilderness. He's got some good things to say. Do you want to go hear him? Yeah, okay. So off they go. They hear John and they go, wow, this guy's got something worth listening to. He piqued their interest and they became his disciples. They sat at his feet. They wanted to learn from John the Baptist because he had something worth saying. We see that through all the Gospels that John the Baptist actually had probably had a pretty big following by the time Jesus starts his ministry. John the Baptist was a big name known across Israel at that time. And we even see in Acts, yeah, I think it's Acts 19, that the disciples of Jesus are spreading the good news about Jesus. And they come across some disciples of John, I think it's in Corinth, where they don't know about Jesus, but they've gone out into the world telling others about what John the Baptist was doing, preparing the way for the Messiah. So it's interesting that John the Baptist had this big following. He'd piqued people's interest. They'd gone out, they were learning from him. He had these disciples around him. They were, learning from him. So in our reading today, we hear how then John sees Jesus and he proclaims that here is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the people. So John the Baptist has got interest. People have come to him, they're being discipled by him, and he's actually pointing them to Jesus. I think it's a great picture for us. It's an encourage for us as we know that we need to share Jesus Christ with others. I hope all you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior also have this longing to share that with others. We hear that in Matthew 28, don't we? That Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, go and tell others. Disciple others. Tell them about me. That's our calling as Christians, to bring that to others. And I don't know about you, but I find that difficult going to others and telling them about Jesus. But this story today is a real encouragement how God uses everyday people, even camel-haired, locust-eating people, to bring others to Jesus. John was just being the person that he called to be. And I think that's real encouragement for each of us. God has called you into a time and place in this world. He's given you your identity, male, female, maybe young, old. You've got different passions, you've got different interests, different jobs, different locations, different people that he's placed you around. God just calls you to be you, and he's going to use that. John had drawn around him people that were interested in what he was saying. He was obviously speaking the word of God to people, confronting them in their sin. They were being baptized, baptism of repentance, being preparing for Jesus. But also, John had these disciples that were locked into his way of thinking. They got stuck, didn't they? It's amazing that when John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for Jesus, when Jesus came along and he pointed his disciples to Jesus, how many went off to follow Jesus? Two. From the masses of disciples that he had, from all these people that had been piqued interest in what John was saying and being baptized, him, two went off to follow Jesus that day. And it took 2 days of testimony for those two to gain the courage to go off. I think in our lives, we've got to remember that God will surround us with people. We need to continuously be bringing Jesus up in our conversations, pointing others to him, knowing that it's not going to be easy work or instant work, or that we're going to have a mass result in seeing everyone we tell about Jesus come to know him. John, who had dedicated his whole life to preparing the way for the Messiah, got two people to follow Jesus on that day. So in our lives, I don't think we should set our standards too high on how many people would like to see to come to Jesus. Because I think one of our biggest fears in sharing Jesus, pointing others to Jesus, is that everyone that we point to Jesus should really come to Jesus. In our hearts, we could have that. That's a good hope to have. But the reality for John the Baptist, even for Jesus, the Son of God, was that most people don't connect with the message. It takes time and energy. John the Baptist was preparing the way. When Jesus was there, two came to know. Maybe later, some of those people that were his disciples came to know him at Pentecost, where 3,000 were baptized. So, take encouragement. God's at work. It's not always quick and fast work. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes dedication. Sometimes the uptake's small. John's two disciples, look at them. They go off. How do they react to Jesus? Do they go and fall and worship at his feet? Do they go and praise God that they found the Messiah straight away? No, they follow. They don't even go up and confront Jesus. It takes Jesus to turn around and ask them what they're up to. I think this invitation to explore who Jesus is should be an open one. These disciples were allowed that distance to approach Jesus, not really knowing who he was, to suss him out. Their interest was piqued through John the Baptist's testimony that he is the Lamb of God, the Son of God. They followed him, not knowing what that meant. Is this true? Isn't that Joseph's son, the carpenter's son? And they followed at a distance. I think as we share Jesus with others, it's a wonderful encouragement to let them find their own space with Jesus. We don't need to push Jesus down their throats or convert them on the spot. We can give them room and space to enjoy who Jesus is, to explore who he is, to let Jesus actually approach them. I've encouraged you before, but one of the most beautiful ways of letting people approach Jesus is letting them read the Gospels with you. If you've got an inquiring friend or someone that's asking questions about, you know, what's this faith that you got, just opening up the invitation to say, well, have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read about Jesus? It's a simple invitation to, here's Jesus, come and meet him. And let them read it. It's not hard to read the Bible, but people sometimes need to be invited into that space. I've got some wonderful friends in Sweden, and we visited them again. About 5 years ago, they invited us to read the Bible with them. They actually asked us to read it. We didn't invite them. And that was a lovely opportunity, and we shared Jesus with them. And this time, we took them to church. We took them to their local church. And God's working on them, but they came to know Jesus through us, and they're growing in that relationship, and I know God will continue to use that space to grow in them. So, inviting people, giving them that open license to approach Jesus. And Jesus is so good. Jesus turns around to those two disciples and says to them, "What do you want?" What a beautiful question. Jesus doesn't just tell them what they need or confront them. He leaves it open-ended to see where people are. How would you answer that question? What do you want from Jesus? If Jesus was here and looked at you and said, what do you want? How would you reply? The disciples cheekily asked, you know, where are you staying, Jesus? They're a bit unsure about him. They don't know if he's really the Messiah. They cheekily invite themselves over. I'm going to do that after the service because my wife's not here and I need meals, so I'm going to cheekily invite myself over. So the disciples, they cheekily invite themselves over to Jesus' place. Where are you staying, Lord? Well, come and see, is Jesus' reply. Come and you will see. What an amazing invitation by Jesus. An invitation to invite sinners into his life, to come and see who he is, to explore this Lamb of God who has come to save them from their sin. Come and see. I think it's a wonderful invitation that we can give to others as we encourage them in their relationship with the Lord. Come and see, explore. You don't have to know it all. You're going to grow in it. One of those two disciples of John was Andrew, and I think the other was probably the gospel writer himself, John. It doesn't say. Those two guys who would come and see Jesus would go and grow with Jesus. They would continue to learn about who he was as Messiah and Lord. They would continue to grow and understand what that meant for their lives. They would give their lives to him. They would see him die on a cross for them. And they saw him rise again and ascend into heaven. And then they continued to follow Jesus with their lives as they told others about what God had done. Come and see. It's planting kingdom seeds, isn't it? Doesn't take much. But a seed that grows into the kingdom of God as we share Jesus with others. So that open invitation. But here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that allows people, that invites people, that wants people to know him. What a beautiful joy that is. Andrew probably wasn't the greatest disciple. A sinner, not perfect, an everyday person, a fisherman's son. Fisherman's son that probably wasn't all dedicated to his job. I think that's encouragement for us as we come to Jesus. Can he use us? Are we good enough? Come and see. Come and you will see. A great encouragement as we follow Jesus Christ in our lives. Yes, we are flawed, but God wants us in his kingdom. He came and saved us through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. It's not about us, it's about what God has done for us through this Lamb of God. As we come and see and as we experience Jesus for our own lives, as we comprehend what he's doing for us and will continue to do for us, as we understand the salvation that we have in his name, we'll continue to grow and be excited about that, more so than Thermomix or Thermomix 2 or scientific results or bread making. We can be excited each and every day that Jesus Christ has come into this world and wants a relationship with us and invites us into that open-handed, come and see. I pray you can get excited about that each day. If you're struggling in that, talk to your brothers and sisters about that. Encourage one another as Paul encourages us in his letter that we read today. Encourage one another in our faith. Keep pointing to Jesus Christ and lift one another up. So Andrew and possibly John go to Jesus and they spend the day with him. And the gospel says that the first thing that Andrew did was go and find his brother, Simon, and tell him, we have found the Messiah. Once we have something good, we want to share it, don't we? And we want to share it with those people that are close to us and we know, want and need that thing that we've discovered. Thermomix, what else? Enyo, who else? Tupperware, they all play on this need, people's excitement about their product, and they get others to draw them in. In the kingdom of God, God uses us to draw others into his kingdom. It's phenomenal that he would want to use us. I still can't get over that. But we should be excited, and we should want to share that with others. And we should come and tell them, come and see. Come and see the one that we have found, the Messiah, the Son of God. Simon, of course, comes and meets Jesus, and Jesus sees him and gives him a new name, renames him Peter. It's interesting that all these men that are coming to Jesus are discovering something different. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Messiah, and he found him in Jesus Christ, his cousin. Andrew was searching for the Messiah, and he found him in Jesus. Peter probably didn't know what he was looking for, but got renamed, and his life was changed as he encountered Jesus. For each and every person, something different will happen as they encounter Jesus in a beautiful way. Jesus changes lives as he comes to them, because he is the one that we find life in. For each of us, as we search, as he continues to draw us in, as he piques our interest in different aspects of our lives, he'll let us explore, he'll help us grow, and he'll answer those ultimate questions and need that we have for a Savior. I encourage you, as you go out, that you don't pigeonhole people and how they need Jesus. Just know that they need Jesus. That you place Jesus before them and let Jesus do what he does with them. He'll work in their lives in a way that no one could expect, and he'll use them as only he can to bring glory to his name. It's my prayer for you this week that you continue to be excited about Jesus, that wherever you go, be it Germany where they don't have Thermomix, or Sweden, or wherever you are in your lives, just in your neighbourhood, share Jesus with others, knowing that he is the Lamb that was slain so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That is something so amazing and precious. As you share that, maybe like John the Baptist, who had many followers, you probably won't get much results, but know that God's at work in that, and he will continue to honour you as you honour him in sharing it. And know that God will influence people's lives in special ways, but it might not be how you think, and it might be in a way that surprises you. Be open, let God invite others into his presence, and they will come and see the one that is worthy of worship. So the peace of God that passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.